Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Please open up your Bibles to the book of Revelation to chapter 5. While you're turning there, let me just summarize what's happened so far. In chapter 1, Messiah sends a message to John, who is exiled to the Isle of Patmos because he refused to worship the Emperor Domitian as God. He won't bow down to the emperor because, believe it or not, the emperor is not God. There is one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who created heavens and earth and all that is in them. In chapters 2 and 3, John is given seven letters to seven churches where the people in the churches all believe they are saved. They claim to be believers. And to most of the churches, the Lord said, if you don't repent, But if you do, if you become an overcomer, you repent, you get saved, you get washed in the blood of Messiah, then there are great things to come. And I will keep you out of the hour of trial or testing to come, which is the tribulation period. In chapter 4, verse 1, the trumpet blows. It's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, the day of the awakening trumpet blast, which takes place on which day of the year? The first day of Tishri. This year, the first day of Tishri, the beginning of the festival that announces the rapture and resurrection, is September 30th. September 30th is the anniversary of the creation of mankind. And when 6,000 years have expired from the time of creation, that trumpet will blow and we will be caught up. Chapters 4 and 5 cover the 10-day period between the first day of Tishri, or Rosh Hashanah, or Yom Teruah, the day of the awakening trumpet blast, until the day of Yom Kippur, which is the 10th day of Tishri, which is the day that the tribulation period itself begins. Because the tribulation period begins on a Yom Kippur and ends on a Yom Kippur. So for the first 10 days of the month, the believers, dead or alive, are caught up to Messiah. We have the Bema Seat judgment. We're given our crowns. We're given our rewards. And we praise the Lord our God. Some of the things that Rosh Hashanah teaches about, in addition to the rapture and the resurrection, another term for it is Hamelech, because it's said that on that day, Messiah will become not prince, but king. And at the coronation of Messiah, that's when Messiah takes a bride, and that's why the believers have been caught up. So those things continue into chapter 5. We saw in chapter 4 that there's thrones set up and the angels are praising, holy, holy, holy. But now things get a little more serious when we start chapter 5.
Wayne?
Yes?
Before you get up to speed in chapter 5, would you talk a little bit about the month of Elul and its significance and the 40 days of awe and how that all plays into the...
Certainly. Turn back to the book of Matthew, chapter 3. Question was, will I talk a little bit about the month of Elul and the 40 days of Teshuvah? And of course, the answer is, of course I will. Matthew chapter 3. In those days, but it doesn't say what days. It assumes we know. Those days are the 40 days of Teshuvah. Teshuvah means repentance. That's right. It's from the first day of the month of Elul until the 10th day of Tishri, which is Yom Kippur. And during those 40 days, the message is, like John the Baptist was preaching in verse 2, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because it was understood at some year, they didn't know when, at the end of the period of Teshuvah or repentance, the kingdom would be established. Another term for Rosh Hashanah, Hamelech, has to do with the establishment of the kingdom. Verse 3, for this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So the preaching is repent, turn away from your sin, turn back to God, stop walking your way, your path, and walk the path that the Lord laid out for us in the scripture. As John is preaching, here comes Messiah. Messiah and John are cousins. They're 6 months apart. John is 6 months older than Messiah, if you remember. And Messiah comes down to be baptized, and John's looking at him like, wait a minute, something's wrong here. I'm supposed to baptize you. You should be baptizing me. What does Messiah say in John, Matthew chapter 3, verse 14? It says, and John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, but are you coming to me? But Yeshua answered and said to him, permit it to be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Messiah is about to turn how old? 30. At what age did a priest enter into his ministry? 30. So he's about to begin his priesthood. He is changing statuses that requires a mikvah, an immersion, a tevilah, a baptism. Baptism didn't start with the church. It's very old. But do you see in verse 15 the words to fulfill? You see those words? That's the Greek word plerao. It's the very same word as Matthew chapter 5. Where the church teaches to fulfill the commandments means the commandments were abolished. If that's so, then all righteousness is about to be abolished. Does that make any sense? No, none. The word plerao means to fully preach, as we know from the book of Romans. Verse 16, when he had been baptized, this is the first day of Elul, all of Judea went down to the river to be baptized because it's the beginning of repentance. The baptism for everybody but Messiah says, I'm repenting of my sins, I'm turning away, I want to be fresh and new, I want to be right before God in case this is the year that Messiah comes to establish the kingdom. When Messiah had been baptized, says Yeshua came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Then Yeshua was led up by the Spirit. What Spirit? Holy Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted, how long? 40 days and 40 nights. How long is Teshuvah? 40 days and 40 nights. So for the 40 days of Teshuvah or repentance, Messiah does not eat. He spends the time in prayer and meditation and fasting to draw ever closer to God. And then at the end of 40 days, here comes Satan to test him. At the end of the 40 days, what day is it? It's Yom Kippur. That's the day the ancients tell us that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and fell. It's the very same day that Satan comes to the second Adam to try and tempt him, to get him to fail. What happens this time, though? Satan loses. Because what does Messiah say in Matthew 4:4? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In other words, I will not serve you, Satan. I will serve God and him only. Verse 7, Yeshua said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And in verse 10, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. This ties right in to chapter 5 of Revelation, believe it or not. In Revelation chapter 5, we're going to look at a seven-sealed scroll. And before we look at the scroll, we need to know the significance of it. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. verse 4, even though it's in the middle of a sentence. I want you to see what they call Satan. It says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. See how God's in lowercase? That's talking about Satan. Satan is referred to in the scripture as the lower G, God of this age. How did he get to be God of this age? There's only one God, and that's the big G, God in heaven. What it means is mankind has given Satan authority in this age that Satan didn't deserve. Let's go back to Romans 6 and see why. How did we give that authority to Satan? Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves or servants to obey, you are that one slaves or servants whom you obey? So, close your eyes for a moment. Think back 6,000 years to the Garden of Eden. God said, watch, you can eat from every tree of the garden except what? Don't you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Did Adam and Eve know they were not allowed to eat from that tree? Yes, because Eve tells Satan, we can't eat from that tree. What did Satan do? Satan said, oh, did God really say that? Well, God's just jealous. He's afraid you'll become like gods. And Eve looked on the tree and said, you know what? That looks like really good fruit. I think I'll obey you instead of God. And then she gave to her husband Adam, and he ate. And instead of obeying God Almighty, they obeyed Satan, which made themselves slaves to Satan and made him the God of this age, the one mankind prefers to follow over the true and living God. Till that point, who had God given the earth's responsibility and administration to? Adam. Adam forfeits it to Satan. Satan now has the right to rule over this world that Adam was given by God. And now go back to Revelation chapter 5 and see how it all fits together. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Who's the capital him sitting on the throne? That's our Messiah, Yeshua. How do we know? Remember John chapter, was it 5 or 7, that gave all judgment to the Son? Let's go look at John 5 and make sure it's John 5. Marvel at this. What's that? Yep, 5:22. John 5:22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. So Messiah is sitting on the throne. He's wearing the vestments of the high priest. As Hebrews chapter 9 says, he is our high priest. There's a rainbow around his throne, reminding us that God has never forgotten a single one of his covenants, because the signs are there all the way back to the original. But in the right hand, the hand of strength and power of Messiah, is a scroll. Your version may say book, but it's a scroll. Written inside and on the back. What's that mean? There's a lot of writing. There wasn't enough to be contained just on the front. So it's written all over and sealed with 7 seals. There are 2 things in history that would have been written in a scroll and sealed with 7 seals. The first is from the Roman world, and that's how a last will and testament was written and sealed in the days of the Roman Empire. The seals were made by the witnesses. The testator would write out the will by hand and then would put the strings around it, and each of the witnesses would put a drop of wax and put their signet ring into it as a seal. And then when it was time to read the will, they would have to break the seals, and each of the testators would say, yes, that's my seal, I witnessed it, this is the original thing. I find that interesting, but not persuasive. To me, what's more important is, in the Jewish world, a title deed or a mortgage of land was sealed with seven seals this way. So to me, that's what this represents. The title deed to the earth that Adam lost to Satan back in the Garden of Eden when he chose to obey Satan over God. Whatever it really is, because the scripture never says exactly this is what it is in black and white, it is what indicates that Satan has control over this world and Messiah is about to take it back. So that's the significance here. The Lord's going to take back the world and Satan is about to be finished. He was defeated back in Matthew chapter 4. However, he is still in heaven right now, going back and forth between heaven and earth, accusing the brethren day and night, like a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. It's not till 3.5... Did I hear a question?
I have one. Do you think maybe that the seven seals would probably tie in with the seven, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, all of those, the seven?
Nope, don't think so.
No? Okay.
Don't think so. Where was I? Let me think. Verse 2, then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? This is a challenge. Anyone who thinks you're worthy to come open the seals, come. And it's a loud angel and a very high ranking angel, and his voice is booming across the heavens and across the earth. Who comes to say, I can do it, I can do it? No one. Verse 3, and no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or even to look at it. Why is there no one worthy to open the seals of this scroll in heaven or on earth? Let's go to Romans chapter 3 and we'll find out. Romans chapter 3. Verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth that is sinless and perfect, and therefore worthy to open the scrolls. Well, that's New Testament. Yes, okay, let's go back to Isaiah 53 and see that it says the same thing. Isaiah 53, verse 6. And I know you guys are chomping at the bit to say, yeah, there's going to be somebody, but hey, hold off, we're not there yet. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. What does that mean, have gone astray? Have gotten off the Lord's path to walk our own way. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So I'm not worthy to open that scroll. You're not worthy to open this scroll. Even Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are not worthy to open this scroll, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Wait.
Yes.
Quick question. When it says in heaven not worthy, what group are they referring to?
They're referring to all groups, including the angelic hosts.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. But notice one is in lowercase, so it's excluding one. Verse 4, so I wept much. Who's I?
John.
John wishes he was worthy to open that scroll, but he knows he's not. He is like Isaiah. Turn back to Isaiah. Isaiah saw this day. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah saw the rapture and the resurrection happen. Isaiah 6 is parallel to Revelation 4. Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. That's what we see in the beginning of Revelation 4, the Lord sitting on his throne. High and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Messiah's throne is the mercy seat in the temple in heaven. Above it stood seraphim. Those are angelic beings. They are made of fire, actually, according to the scripture. And they have six wings. It says each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. One cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Lord of hosts, Adonai Zavaot indicates what kind of a prophecy? This is an end times prophecy. The whole earth is full of his glory. That's what happens in the day of the Lord. The Lord takes back the earth. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, this is Isaiah speaking. Isaiah, one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. He said, woe is me, for I'm undone. How do you remember the Guess Who song, She's Come Undone? It means to die. He says, because I'm a man of unclean lips. Meaning, he's a man who sinned. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King. When does Messiah get crowned? Revelation 4. The Lord of hosts, Adonai Zavaot. Back to Revelation chapter 5. Verse 4, so I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, John's panicking, there's nobody, no one. And they say, wait a minute, that was no one with a little O. Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Whoa, who's the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a rod, a shoot. Shoter is the word, a shoot. From the stem of Jesse, the word stem means a stump. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. This is Messiah comes from the root of David, from the root of Jesse. But in Revelation chapter 5, he's called the root of David. So how did one who springs from David come before David to be the root of David? What's that? He always was. What did Messiah himself say? Go up to the book of Matthew. In Matthew, when they're questioning Messiah, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Hellenists, the Romans, everybody got a chance to examine him. And the examination ends from the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees with this. Matthew chapter 22, verse 41. Messiah is now going to ask them a question. He's answered all theirs. While the Pharisees, verse 41, Matthew 22, 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Yeshua asked them, saying, what's that word saying? It's a quote. What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. Why? Because of Isaiah 11, 1. He shoots out of the root that was established by Jesse, the father of David. He said to them, how then does David in the spirit, meaning in the spirit of prophecy through the Holy Spirit, so he can't be wrong, call him Lord, saying from Psalm 110:1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? The Lord is the one who's greater. How is the one who's greater than David the descendant or lesser from David? And as you said, it's because he always was. In the beginning was the Word. There was with God. The Word was God. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. What's the significance of the tribe of Judah? Where did Jacob give a prophecy of his sons, of what would befall them in the end of days? Genesis 49. Let's go back to Genesis 49. A lot of people forget that Jacob is a prophet. But in Genesis 49, he gives one of the greatest prophecies of the Old Testament. Genesis 49:1 says, and Jacob called his sons and said, gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Just strike through last days, because that's wrong. It's the Acharit Hayamin, which is the end of days, which is a term for the day of the Lord. God bless you. And what does he say about Judah? Verse 10. We'll start in verse 8, because that's where Judah begins. Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Why will the brothers praise Judah? Because the kings are going to descend from Judah, and Messiah is going to descend from Judah. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. That is, he's going to rule over the enemies, like David conquered the Philistines. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Bow down before you, because they will be the source of the kings of Judah. Judah is a lion's whelp. Here's the first reference to the Lion of Judah. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down. He lies down as a lion, or couches to spring out on prey like a lion does. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah. The word scepter means the right to rule. The kings, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Wait a minute. Moses, the lawgiver, wasn't from Judah. What tribe was he from? Levi. So what lawgiver comes from Judah? Answers Messiah. That's right. The original lawgiver. Until Shiloh comes. Shiloh or Shiloh is a term for the Messiah. It comes from the Hebrew word Sheliach, the sent one. And Messiah was the sent one. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.